It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Well, maybe hard to believe, but we're just a little over a month away from the midterm elections. There'll be plenty of races on your ballot. And if you haven't decided on who you're voting for just quite yet, we're here to help. Over the next month, we'll be bringing the candidates in a variety of races right to you.
Today, we'll be hosting forums with the candidates running for Attorney General. It's the first open race for the position since 2002. Current Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen announced he won't be seeking another term. There are three candidates seeking the office, and we'll be speaking to all of them individually over the next hour and a half.
We'll start with Brad Schimmel. He's currently Waukesha County District Attorney, and he's the Republican candidate for Attorney General of Wisconsin. He joins us from our studios in Milwaukee. Brad, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So why are you running for Attorney General?
You know, Wisconsin has some tough public safety challenges in front of it, and it deserves an Attorney General who's got the experience and the vision to lead on these issues.
Well, let's talk about that experience. What in your background sets you up to be Attorney General?
Well, this December, I'll have 25 years as a frontline prosecutor in the Waukesha DA's office. I've been the district attorney elected there for 8 years now. But you don't just measure experience by the years sitting in the chair. You measure it by leadership. And I've had a lot of different opportunities to demonstrate leadership over the years. For instance, way back in the early 1990s, I was part of the team that created Wisconsin's first victim impact panel for chronic intoxicated drivers. Later on in my career, when I was working in the sensitive crimes unit, I was part of the team that created Wisconsin's first full-service child advocacy center. And these were things that were difficult to do. They would have been difficult to get the funding for. And for both of them, we found ways to do it without any taxpayer money to get it done. And as DA, too, I've been part of Wisconsin's first alcohol treatment court. I led the charge to create our successful drug treatment court in Waukesha. I serve on the Wisconsin Crime Victim Council now as the district attorney's representative, and we're leading the charge on fighting human trafficking in Wisconsin. I serve on the Wisconsin Judicial Council, where we're working hard to make sure that the criminal procedure in our state makes sense for the people using the courtrooms, from the citizens to the lawyers to the judges. All of those things are leadership opportunities that I've taken advantage of over the years, and I think I've served well.
The two other candidates in the race, we'll hear from them today, Democrat Susan Happ, Libertarian Tom Nelson. Other than the party tag, what sets you apart from your opponents?
Well, I'm the law enforcement choice in this race. I've got 89 elected sheriffs and district attorneys statewide endorsing me. They are, and they're both Republicans and Democrats that are endorsing me. And I've got an independent district attorney as well that's endorsing me. I think that is that's important reflection of what I'll do as Attorney General, because I'll put the politics aside and put public safety first. And the other big difference is I've promised that I will enforce the law the way it's written. I'll defend Wisconsin law the way it's written. I'll defend our Constitution. And I don't care who's passing the law, who the governor is, who the legislature is. My job as Attorney General will be the state's lawyer and defend it the way it's written.
The latest Marquette University Law School poll suggests that while this Attorney General race is neck and neck, you and Susan Happ, but a good majority of Wisconsin voters are still unfamiliar with both of you. All three of you actually don't know enough about you to form an opinion. What are you doing to get your name out there and win voters over to your cause and introduce yourself to people?
Well, and you said earlier that it was about a month left. It's 35 days. I happen
You're
to be counting.
Yeah.
But in this 35 days, you know, well, I have been for the last 11 months just crisscrossing the state constantly, and we're putting a lot of miles on with retail politicking. We're also going to have to get up on the air. We're working on a lot of earned media by releasing some of my plans for public safety for Wisconsin, and also getting earned media by visiting with reporters in all the different locations throughout the state. We also recognize we're going to have to be up on the airwaves, and we will definitely be doing some radio and television ads, and those are going to start pretty soon.
Now, in recent weeks, parties, campaigns, and outside groups taking shots at each other over the issue of plea deals mostly reached with sex offenders. Susan Happ has been defending herself in the media a lot, but Democratic supporters pointing to, for example, a case you were involved in where a 19-year-old was able to plead guilty to misdemeanor charges after assaulting a 14-year-old girl rather than facing felony charges. How do you respond to that plea issue?
Well, in my 25-year career, I've handled over 10,000, well over 10,000 different cases, and I've taken 150 cases to jury trial. If anyone's going to argue that I'm soft on crime, that isn't going to stick, because victim advocates, law enforcement, and citizens all have seen my work and are supporting me because of the work I've done as a prosecutor. There's no soft on crime. There are certainly cases that you get in a situation where you've got to make some kind of an amendment to the case to get something and not walk away empty-handed.
Well, this anybody who's been in a job like yours and Susan Happ's for more than a day is going to have made some kind of plea deals. Susan Happ, your Democratic opponent, has said, hey, let's try to take this off the table, not have groups on both sides cherry-picking things like plea deals over the past. Would you agree? Should this not be something we're looking at all?
You know, our records are our records, and we're going to have to stand on them. And when challenges come, we're going to have to defend them. But first off, we can't stop those groups from doing what they're doing. I mean, if we're following the rules, we're not really communicating with them about what strategies they're using. And second, it's a natural thing. If you want to be the state's top cop, you're going to have to run on the record you have.
Well, one thing the attorney general won't be doing, though, is negotiating plea deals with particular criminals. Is that something that we should be looking at in the resume of you and your opponents?
Well, the attorney general is leading a large law enforcement agency with the agents at the Division of Criminal Investigation. You know, the AG is going to have to make decisions about how that office runs or that division runs. Also with the Division of Criminal Litigation, there are assistant attorneys general who handle some of the biggest cases that occur in Wisconsin. A lot of times when tragic things happen in smaller counties, they call in the attorney general's office to send in assistant AGs to help out with those cases. We are certainly going to be making big decisions, and we need an AG. We need a leader who's ready to lead on this.
So as attorney general, if elected, you'd be working closely with the state's governor, coin toss, according to some recent polls, whether that's going to be Scott Walker or Mary Burke. How do you see the relationship between a governor and an attorney general? Could you work with someone from the opposite party?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think J.B. Van Hollen managed to do it. He was the first 4 years as attorney general. Jim Doyle was the governor. And you didn't see headlines, or I didn't at least, with them clashing. They managed to do their jobs. As the attorney general, I represent my client, which is the state of Wisconsin. You know, it's just like any other lawyer. You've got a job to do, and you don't substitute your personal views for what the person who hired you, which would be the voters of the state, you don't substitute your view for what they've hired you to do on their behalf.
Well, getting into some issues now, the current attorney general, J.B. Van Hollen, has been appealing recent rulings that would allow same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. Next stop, potentially the Supreme Court. If it goes there, do you argue for the state's same-sex marriage ban in our Constitution before the U.S. Supreme Court?
Of course. It's the job. You know, whatever your personal opinion about the constitutional amendment, it is our law. It was lawfully passed by the electorate. And therefore, your job is to go and defend it. And it's a little misleading to pretend that if the attorney general doesn't defend a law, it's going to go undefended. Because instead, what happens is the state then has to hire an outside attorney or an outside attorney team that will come in and do this instead. And we'll spend potentially millions of dollars of extra taxpayer money because the attorney general's not doing the job they were hired to do.
Well, Susan Happ said it isn't a personal opinion, it's a constitutional matter. The attorney general shouldn't defend a law that is unconstitutional. So if you look at a law like same-sex marriage and said, you know what, this doesn't pass constitutional muster, do you then still defend it?
My job as attorney general is part of the executive branch. It is not my place to decide, to interpret the law and decide what's constitutional. There has been no court that has determined conclusively that the 10th Amendment doesn't override the 14th Amendment. We've got a conflict of two different constitutional amendments here, and ultimately, we're not going to know the answer to this until the United States Supreme Court decides which one takes supremacy on this.
Now, if elected, you'd also take office as the state continues to develop a protocol around implementing the state's new voter ID law. It'll be in practice for the election that you're contesting now. As Attorney General, how do you handle this law? What's the Attorney General's role?
Well, the Attorney General has two roles, just like any other attorney representing a client. One is when they're in trouble, you may have to defend them and get them out of trouble, but you also play the role of advising your client to keep them out of trouble in the first place. And that's an important piece of this, is to work with the legislature to make sure that laws are crafted in a way that are going to minimize the legal challenges and are going to withstand challenges in the courts later on. So that's a big part of this. I know that the Attorney General did work with the legislature on crafting this law. They didn't quite follow Indiana's law exactly. And if they had, we may have avoided some of these challenges.
We're talking with Brad Schimmel, Republican candidate for Attorney General of Wisconsin. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234.
Do you have a question for Brad Schimmel, or are you wondering where he stands on an issue? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment. But first, the headlines with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farach. We're talking with Republican Attorney General candidate Brad Schimmel. He's one of three candidates running for that office. If you've got a question for him or are wondering where he stands on an issue, give us a call. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now. We've got Evan on the line in Milwaukee. Evan, hi.
Hi, it's actually Pepin, like Pepin and Inn.
Pepin, hi.
And, my question is, given how many serious issues our state is dealing with, you know, whether it's the heroin crisis or human trafficking, and given the, and correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, but the Attorney General can decide, like, kind of which direction to go in terms of which cases to take, it just seems kind of like a misuse of resources to defend the same-sex marriage ban.
Interesting. Pepin, so he's saying don't waste money defending this same-sex marriage ban when we've got more important issues, heroin and other things, on our plate. Does defending those things in court detract from the other missions of the Attorney General, Brad?
Well, I think part of the point that isn't being made clear to voters out there, and I understand why Pepin is not getting this, because I think they're being misled a little bit, because they're being given the impression that if the Attorney General doesn't defend a law, it'll just go away. And that's not true. When the U.S. Supreme Court calls the case, they're going to expect that there's an attorney representing the state of Wisconsin. And if that's not the elected Attorney General or their representatives from the office, it's going to be another attorney that the state will hire, because there will be an attorney defending that law. That's, yes, it does detract resources away, but it's part of the job. And certainly Pepin is right about the challenges we face with heroin and human trafficking. And I'm the only candidate in this race that has some comprehensive plans, and you can find them on my website, bradschimmel.com. I have comprehensive plans to deal with both of those serious issues. And I also have a track record that demonstrates I've already done a lot of work as a frontline prosecutor on these issues.
Pepin, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Brad, let's follow up that point on heroin in particular. Where do you start as Attorney General in tackling the state's heroin problem?
Well, this will take a multifaceted approach. We are certainly going to have to use the enforcement side of it. We're going to have to make sure we lock up the drug dealers, especially those who are delivering drugs that are causing deaths. But we will, unlike many other problems, we will not arrest our way out of this alone. We're going to have to do other things like treatment courts. And I'm very proud that I served on the Wisconsin Good Samaritan Task Force that developed the recommendations that became much of Representative John Nygren's HOPE legislation. And some of those things included funding for treatment and diversion courts, which last year the legislature invested $5 million in treatment and diversion court startup grants, and I think that's a good start. And as Attorney General, I will continue to beat that drum to make sure we fund that. And then ultimately, another piece of the HOPE legislation, or some pieces of it, involve prevention efforts. And we are not going to win this one if we don't get out in front of prevention. I've already presented to hundreds of medical providers, both in Waukesha County and other parts of the state, to address with them the concerns that we need to treat prescription narcotics differently than we have been treating them with our patients. And we've got to work with parents to make sure they know you need to lock up these drugs. You know, if you left your child at home, your 17-year-old at home for the weekend, You might check the liquor cabinet and mark the bottles or lock the cabinet, but very few people think about counting those OxyContin pills, for instance, in their medicine cabinet. Those OxyContin pills are that's the starting place for a heroin addiction in almost all cases. And we just aren't doing enough to be careful about those. We've got to educate the public better.
Other issues you've laid out, you have a plan to prevent and prosecute child abuse. Talk about what's in your plan.
Well, for child abuse, one of the things we need to create is, similar to what we have with sexual abuse of a child, a law that provides for being able to charge multiple acts as one count. Because often a young child isn't going to be able to say, I had this discrete thing happen to me on July 4th, and another thing happened to me a year later on September 4th. They can't do that. It makes it difficult for prosecutors sometimes to put the case together. If you've got the ability to charge repeated acts like we do with sexual assault, you can issue that one count that kind of covers everything, and it lets the child be able to just simply tell about what's happened to them and let the jury decide whether there are at least three acts that occurred so they can enter a conviction.
One issue we've heard about a fair amount in the last year. Over the last couple of decades, we've seen a big growth, a boom in Wisconsin's prison population. In your view, is this a problem? And if so, what role, if any, should the Department of Justice have in reducing the amount of people locked up, whether in jail or prison?
It is a problem, and it's embarrassing that Wisconsin ranks so poorly when we talk about per capita incarceration rates. It's a big problem. I believe that the treatment and diversion courts give us some real hope on this. Alcohol and drug treatment courts, the people that complete those effectively are people that are ultimately not going to prison, but they were certainly on the path to that. So I think those are things that can help reduce that. Some of this is going to have to be resolved by dealing with some social problems head on, and those are tough ones for, teen pregnancy rates. That's tough for law enforcement or criminal justice professionals to deal with. These are social issues. Also, the dropout rates at some of our inner-city schools in Milwaukee, it's a big piece of this problem. We've got to address this as a community. Those are tough things to go after for law enforcement, though.
There have been some calls for the next attorney general to put open government at the top of the priority list. If elected, would you make a commitment to open government? How would you be transparent with the people of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Open government is critical to the functioning of our democracy. We have to be able to see what our government is doing. We have to be able to check up on it to keep them honest, but also to have a public that's better informed when they go to vote for elected officials. And one of the things that I want to do as Attorney General is convene a conference of members of the Newspapers Association, the Broadcast Media Association, law enforcement, municipal attorneys, folks that are working directly with the public records law on both sides, and citizens, of course, as well, and take a look at our public records law and look at it with the intention of expanding access, but at the same time addressing some specific things that haven't been addressed by our law. Our public records law was written long before the internet existed, long before we had law enforcement agencies recording things on dash cams, long before we had the kind of 911 services we have. And these are leading law enforcement agencies to be not sure how to respond, and we end up having to deal with it by having cases get taken to court. And then once we get a court decision, we have a very narrow decision that doesn't necessarily address all of the possibilities. I think it's time for us to take a look at our public records law and not tear it all down, but bring it into conformity with today's technology, because it's really out of conformity right now.
Briefly, you've also made a priority of targeting violence against women. What role would you play as Attorney General?
Well, there are a lot of important issues here, and the Attorney General has millions of dollars in federal violence against women grant funding that they use for training law enforcement, prosecutors, social workers, and others in the community or in the profession. We need to take a look at how this money's being used, and I think there's some better ways to get professionals trained up in this. One thing I'd like to do is create a sensitive crime certification within law enforcement. have officers who are specifically trained up in this certification. They've got a complete periodic recertification to maintain that status, and they can become the experts in their jurisdictions, because we should not be sending out just a standard patrol officer in many cases to deal with a report of a sexual abuse of adult or a child. We certainly need to take a look at doing things differently on our college campuses. It's very disappointing to hear from college students just how dangerous it is for women on our college campuses. I have daughters who are 13 and 11, and I want to do something to make our colleges safer before my kids go off to college. And some of the things we can do is I'd like to see us create what's called a Good Samaritan law. So a person who's either a victim or a witness to something that could be sexual abuse occurring or about to occur doesn't have to strike a balance between getting in trouble themselves and notifying the authorities.
Brad, we'll have to leave it there for now. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Brad Schimmel, Waukesha County District Attorney, Republican candidate for Attorney General. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our series of Attorney General candidate forums. While the race is mainly being described as a close fight between Democrat Susan Happ and Republican Brad Schimmel, there's another candidate on the ballot offering a different option to voters.
Tom Nelson joins us now. He's an attorney and the Libertarian candidate for Attorney General of Wisconsin. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So why are you running for Attorney General?
Well, I'm running for Attorney General. One reason is the Libertarian Party is running a complete slate. We're running a candidate for every office, and so this is the one that made most sense to me since I have decades of trial law experience. When you get your ballot, you will find the Libertarian Party listed and every Libertarian candidate on the ballot. So I urge everyone to take a look at that and consider all those candidates. Bob Burke is running for governor. Don't confuse him with Mary Burke just because they have the same last name. They're different people, and so on down the line.
So you mentioned your experience as a lawyer. How does that prepare you to take on the role of Attorney General?
Well, the Attorney General's office, as you're probably aware, is the law firm that advises the state government. It primarily advises the executive branch. The attorney general is the governor's lawyer for all his state and official functions. When someone wants to know how a law will apply to a certain set of facts, for example, they will send over to the attorney general's office with a question, and they will get an opinion from the attorney general saying, here's how I think the law will work in this case. And those opinions are reported along with the case reports from the state Supreme Court and the state's Court of Appeals. Usually right at the bottom, it'll say there's also an opinion of the Attorney General here. It doesn't have the authority in the judicial branch that a law case has from the appellate court, but it's still informative, and it's put in there to help people reason their way through things. So needless to say, a long experience in trial law assists a lot, because you're studying the cases and the law and litigating and seeing how the litigation comes out. And of course, I have read many, many attorney general opinions.
So the race for attorney general mainly being framed as a close run between Democrat Susan Happ and Republican Brad Schimmel. What do you offer to voters that those two don't?
Well, what I offer is a completely different approach. I've watched their campaigns, and what I see is a very typical politically oriented type of campaign where the things they are saying are not matters of principle. They're not offering a political position or a professional position, but trying to figure out what people want to hear, showing pictures of cute little children online and saying, we will protect them and make them safe. And they're not getting down, neither of them is getting down to any of the problems that are in the government now, in the Attorney General's office. Neither of them is offering any solution to those problems. And those problems and the solution I offer are what I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, you're
the
running.
The first thing is.
Well, go ahead. Yeah.
Pardon me?
That's right. Go ahead.
The first thing is, put very simply, this state has way too many people in prison. And
are you still there, Tom? I think we've lost our connection with Tom Nelson, Libertarian candidate for governor, as we hopefully bring him back momentarily. We'll remind you that we're having candidate forums with the candidates for Attorney General of Wisconsin. We talked to Republican Brad Schimmel in the previous half hour, Democrat Susan Happ coming up after 5. We can also take your calls for Libertarian candidate Tom Nelson. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post questions for the candidate or your thoughts on the race and the job in general over at the Central Time Facebook page. And this is the first in a series of candidate forums we'll be doing between now and Election Day. Between us and the Joy Cardine Show, we will cover all statewide races, invite all candidates on the ballot there, as well as federal races, the races for Congress, namely, and also some selected races for the state legislature of importance to control of things like the state Senate. Looks like we have Tom Nelson back on the line. We'll bring him up. Tom, are you back?
Sorry, yes,
that's
I
okay.
am back. Sorry,
we lost
it
you.
Looks like the call got dropped.
Yep, well, we're back now, and you were talking about what you could do as Attorney General about the state's prison population.
Okay, the state's prison population is enormous. The state operates 37 adult prisons, 2 juvenile, and 4 of what it calls correctional farms. But the hard numbers here are 22,462 people in those prisons. Now, right next door in Minnesota, they have 9,768 people in prison, and we only have 7% more population in the state. In Minnesota, the prison system costs them $481 million a year. Here in Wisconsin, we spend $1,158 million a year. Are the streets safer in Wisconsin than Minnesota? Maybe marginally. Minnesota is 30th in the violent crime ranking, federal government. Wisconsin is 32nd, 2 down, and it's pretty clear the streets are safe in both states. What's happened in Wisconsin is, of course, government is a tremendous growth industry in our state, and, of course, libertarians, as we know, want to cut that down. We think there's too much government, and it's doing too much, and it's doing too many things badly. I would endeavor to cut the prison population down and quit making such a gigantic industry. And there are a number of things, ways I would go about doing this.
Yeah, what kind of things would you do targeting reducing that prison population?
The one thing I have seen over and over, over the last about 24 years that I've actually been trying cases in Wisconsin, is this go-for-the-throat hunting dog drive that prosecutors have. Prosecutors, when they get a case, are supposed to exercise discretion. It's called prosecutorial discretion. Should this case really be dragged into court? If so, what penalties are we going for? That discretion's not being exercised. It's an optimizing process. They act like salesmen. Every case is taken in. Every possible charge is raised and prosecuted, and they always go for maximum penalties. And they do a pretty good job of it. That's why our crime rate is so low, but that's also why our prisons are overflowing and why it's costing a vast fortune to operate them. By the way, let me add as a side note here a very important thing. I'm talking about the money the prisons cost. That's not the worst cost. The destruction of human lives, the waste of humanity, is much worse than the economic costs of the prisons. Our criminal justice system takes people and stamps that word felon on them at every opportunity it gets. And it's just grossly overdone. It doesn't have to cost that much, and we don't have to destroy people like that. Once a person's been convicted of a felony, he won't be able to get a government job, he won't be able to get student loans, and he'll have a very difficult time supporting himself the rest of his life. What's he going to do then? Turn to crime? Turn to welfare? And why do we want to create that situation in a case where we can avoid it? Now, I could tell you a lot of specific cases where felony prosecutions were brought where they just shouldn't have been. A woman once wrote a false statement on a welfare application. That's a felony. I had a child, a high school child once, who had a prescription for ibuprofen. I think it's called Advil. And the prescription was for 800-milligram tablets, and so they're controlled. The 400-milligram tablets you can buy over the counter. She gave one of these tablets to a classmate and was prosecuted for distributing drugs. Had she given the classmate two 400 milligram Advils, it wouldn't even have been a crime, but she gave him one of the 800 milligram Advils. I talked to the prosecutor and asked him, what are you doing? Why are you doing? Well, he points you to the statute. See the statute here? This is on a schedule of controlled substances. That is not exercising judgment. That's just going to the extremes.
Well, Tom, I want to jump in, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. I want to get to the job as the top lawyer for the state. A particular issue, the current Attorney General, Republican J.B. Van Hollen, has been appealing recent rulings that would allow same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. If elected, would you defend the same-sex marriage ban and the constitutional amendment before the Supreme Court, where it might go next?
Okay, well, first answer to that is, as Attorney General, as I said before, you're a lawyer with a client, and your client decides those policies. And what I would do and what any Attorney General would do, and I expect what Mr. Schimmel or Ms. Happ would do, would be call the governor up and say, what's our position on this, and then advocate it. Now I want to give you the political answer as a libertarian. To the extent I had any power to make the decision or influence it, the government really doesn't belong in the marriage business. Why should the government decide who can get married and who can't? It's not a government function. This is the core problem with government in America today and in the world, is government prying into too many places where it doesn't belong. And we're getting away from that in some areas. Until recently, a man and his wife could go in the bedroom, shut the door, and commit felony after felony in private by not having sex in the prescribed way. Well, we've pretty well gotten rid of that. We've grown out of that. Now we need to grow out of the government involving itself in marriage. It's just not a political question.
And as the boss of the Department of Justice, would you take that big government is bad message and try to cut staff, cut the budget of the department?
To the extent that the job here, we're talking about the lawyer side of the job, and I have described the obligation the lawyer has to do what his client tells him to do. You're representing the client. The other side of the job is administrative. You are the senior partner in a pretty big law firm, and you have to administer it. The answer to your question, of course, is yes. I would certainly like to cut fat and lighten it up any place the Attorney General's office is getting into business that the government really doesn't belong in. I certainly would want to retract that. However, there are a couple areas the Attorney General is not getting into that I would like to get into, but they have to do with enforcing criminal law. Would you like me to expand on that?
Yeah, please do.
Because I'd love to. We had a tragic homicide two years ago next month, when a man named Paul Heenan was shot to death by a city police officer, unarmed, stumbling drunk, and the officer said, "Get down, get down." This is from the official city report. The man didn't get down fast enough, so the officer shot him right in the middle of the chest at a range of about 1 yard. Then the officer shot him again right in the middle of the chest at a range of about 1 yard. And then, incredibly, the officer shot him a third time right in the middle of the chest. Now, this was shooting to kill. This was an execution. And this supposedly was investigated. The victim's name was Paul Heenan. That's spelled H-E-E-N-A-N. And I urge everyone to go online, do a search, and read everything you can about the Paul Heenan case. The police department said, that's okay, you can kill people when you want to. The city of Madison approved it and didn't object. Our district attorney, whose primary job it is to enforce crimes that only have a local impact, Mr. Ismail Ozan, decided not to investigate, not to prosecute. He just walked away from that. And then the attorney general, Mr. Van Hollen, whom I like and who does a pretty good job in this case, unfortunately elected not to get involved. His office has a division of criminal investigation that's supposed to investigate local government corruption, matters that affect more than one county, so they're difficult for one county to deal with and so on. They should have been called in to investigate this homicide. If I'm elected in the office of Attorney General, I will certainly bring the AG office into times and places where police officers have brutalized citizens, or especially deliberately, thoroughly, and convincingly shooting an unarmed, inebriated man to death like this, the state should be getting into that. That is government business. That is a political problem.
We're talking with Tom Nelson. He's the Libertarian candidate for Attorney General of Wisconsin, and you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234.
Do you have a question for Tom, or are you wondering where he stands on an issue? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in a moment, but first, some headlines with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Libertarian Attorney General candidate Tom Nelson. He's one of three candidates running for the office. If you've got a question for him or want to know where he stands on an issue, call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now. We've got Steve on the line in Eau Claire. Steve, hi.
Hi, I'd like to talk to Thomas, the Libertarian candidate, and pick up on the thread of thought that he was voicing before the commercial break. We have seen in this country polarizing and paralyzing partisan politics, and that's difficult to say all at once.
good alliteration,
But I'm interested in the fact that you are neither Democrat nor Republican, and I think that there's a real chance that you could serve a valuable position. Now, you've been saying your client is the governor and you serve the client, but this is an elected office. I wonder if it's limited to I serve at the pleasure of the governor, or is it that I serve the office? And in that case, maybe we could get away from some of this partisan gamesmanship that goes on that paralyzes government. Could there be an interesting value to your candidacy that you are neither party and you serve the law?
Steve, thanks for the call. Tom, your thoughts?
I really like that suggestion. That appeals to me strongly. And you know, in the federal government, the attorney general is appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate, the way other department heads are. And maybe that's more sense because he gets to pick his own lawyer. It's true here in Wisconsin, the people elect the governor and then they elect the attorney general and they have to get along together. The situation the AG is in is that he's got a professional obligation as a licensed attorney and an officer of the court to serve his client, and at the same time he has a political constituency. I think it calls for a lot of judgment and nice decision making. However, I really do want to acquiesce to what the caller Steve suggested. It's a very good point. As a libertarian, assuming we're going to have either a Democratic or Republican governor, you would not be a party player, and you would have more independence that way. And you sit down and talk to people, and maybe you can change their positions and change their minds and advise them not so much on what they shouldn't do, because politicians have pretty firm ideas what they should do. But you can always bring up what they're failing to do. And I think that's where the better contribution can be made. And that's what's not happening now at any level in the government.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Daniel now in Cameron. Daniel, hi.
Hello. Historically, concealed carry passed and was signed into law by Governor Walker. Do you philosophically agree with our right to carry concealed handguns as the law reduced crime in Wisconsin?
Okay, easy answer to that. Yes, indeed. Libertarians are strongly in support of the Second Amendment. It means what it said. It's a compound sentence. It's not that hard to understand. And as a practical matter, where concealed carry has been passed, the experience has been good. We've not seen a lot of shootings or outbreak in crime as a result of concealed carry. And in fact, a lot of crime has been deterred. The NRA, of which, might I add, I'm a life member, carries a monthly regular item in their magazine, The American Rifleman, in which they list cases where crime was deterred because somebody had a gun. And most of the time, not even a shot is fired. You get the gun out and the criminal backs off, or you fire a shot in the air. Why don't police fire a shot in the air to tell the stumbling drunk there's a gun there and he's in danger? I don't know. And I'm referring back to what I said earlier, but yes, definitely in support of concealed carry. And yes, I have a permit too.
Daniel, thanks for the call. We'll go to Paul with us now in Whitewater. Paul, hi.
Very interesting conversation. You did mention that you did like the Attorney General. I was wondering what points would you maintain from his tenure, and what points do you feel need the most change? And I'll take my answer off the air.
So where do you pick up from J.B. Van Hollen, Tom?
Well, of course, when you're new in an office, the first thing you do is find out what's been done and how it's been done, and you have to get educated, and you find out what's not broken, and then you don't fix it. We only fix the things that are broken. What I would do is keep, especially administratively, and as I've said before, I think Mr. Van Hollen has done a passable job. Look it all over, keep the administrative machinery working smoothly, and then start not too hard and fast to implement some new things. One thing I would immediately do, however, is start an investigation into the shooting of Paul Heenan and the shooting of Michael Bell in Kenosha, where he was held down against a car hood by two officers while the third one put a pistol barrel to his head and blew his brains. And that's online and a reenactment done by the police themselves over in Kenosha. Horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. That I'd get on right away. And the other thing is going around, district attorneys are elected too. They don't work for the AG, but you can talk to them and you can go around and apply moral suasion. That's a word from the 60s. And try to get some kind of balanced judgment into these prosecution decisions and try to convince trial lawyers that they're not a pack of attack dogs.
One issue that
there is room for some moderation.
One issue that your opponents have talked about, the legislature's done a lot of work on, is heroin in Wisconsin. As Attorney General, what, if anything, would you want to do as far as law enforcement and treatment, for that matter, of heroin?
Well, that's being worked on hard. I wish I had a brilliant idea for that, but I don't. Heroin is an absolute horror story, and the horror story is bigger than the heroin itself, because these horrible excuses for human beings who push that stuff aren't content to sell the heroin. They adulterate it and mix it. They put poisons into it to try to increase the apparent effect of it. It's really a nightmare. And yes, it has been on the increase. I know, because I've been getting more cases. I've been seeing cases. I don't have any idea, except I would not let up a bit on heroin. And in the case of people selling and distributing heroin, that's where I would use balanced judgment to prosecute vigorously and go for maximum sentences. Just what I've been saying we're doing too much of.
On the other hand...
You've raised the absolute worst horror that's out on the street there, and that's where we should, of course, be making the maximum effort.
A drug-related issue, maybe this is more for the legislature, but would you be in favor of legalizing marijuana here in Wisconsin?
I've answered this question a couple times once on public television, and I'll tell you the same thing. I'm not opposed to it. I don't know why alcohol's legal and marijuana isn't, except the big brewing companies, of course, are the people who oppose legalizing marijuana just because they'll lose sales. And that's the danger of drugs, is not that it'll cut into alcohol sales. And the same thing with the medical marijuana. We use codeine and morphine, and all kind of opiates are controlled and used medically, but for some reason not marijuana. I don't know what the hang-up is. But right now we've got an opportunity to watch the states of Colorado and Washington, which recently did legalize it. And I would hold ourselves right where we are for a year or two and watch and see what their experience is. And if they have a really bad experience, we can learn that for free and avoid it. And if they have a good experience, then we can liberalize a little bit and open up maybe and do the same thing. It's not often you get someone else doing your experiment and spending your money and taking your risks for you, but they're doing it, and the whole country can benefit from that. So the first thing is, watch those two western states.
All right, Tom.
See what happens there and then decide.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
That's Tom Nelson. He's a Madison-based attorney, and he's the Libertarian candidate for Attorney General here in Wisconsin.